Title: Cassette Washed Pads from Scratch Without Third-Party Plugins Advanced. Alright, let's build one of the most useful secret weapons in drum and bass, the cassette washed pad. Not the pretty ambient pad that takes over the whole mix, but the one that feels like it was sampled off a slightly tired tape, sits behind your drums and bass, and somehow makes the whole track feel finished. And we're doing it completely stock in Ableton Live, no third-party tape plugins, just smart layering, modulation, gain staging, and mix discipline. Before we touch any synth settings, set the session up like a real DNB context. Tempo around 172 to 175 BPM. Create a MIDI track and name it PAD, cassette. And make sure you've got at least a basic kick and snare pattern running, even if it's placeholder. The whole point is, we're calibrating tape against the mix, not in solo. If you design this pad in solo, it'll sound amazing and then it'll destroy your drop. Step 1. The pad core. Drop wave eatable on the pad track. For oscillator 1, start with basic shapes and aim somewhere between sine and triangle. Think warm, rounded, fundamental heavy. For oscillator 2, also basic shapes, but go more sawish or slightly pulse Y. Then pull osc 2 down, like minus 10 to minus 16 dB. This second oscillator is support, not the star. Now add unison. Classic mode is great here. Keep it restrained. 2 to 4 voices, detune around 8 to 15%. Width high, like 80 to 100%. We're going to manage low-end stability later, but you want that gentle spread so the pad already feels like a piece of audio, not a perfect mono synth. Filter next. Choose something with character like MS2 or PRD. Cut off somewhere between 500 Hz and 2000 Hz as a starting point. Resonance 5 to 15%, and give it a little drive, 2 to 6 dB, just to roughen the edges. Now the amp envelope. This is a pad, so no sharp edges. Attack around 80 to 200 milliseconds. Decay 2 to 6 seconds. Sustain down a bit, like minus 6 to minus 12 dB, and a long release, 2 to 6 seconds. You want the chord to bloom and hang on like it's living in the room. Quick harmony coaching while you've got chord in. In DNB, full triads can get in the way of a big bassline fast. Try minor 7 or minor 9 voicings, or even single note drones with moving inversions. If your bass is busy, the pad should be emotionally rich but harmonically non-invasive. Step 2. Movement, the part that sells the cassette illusion. We're going to separate two types of movement. Vibe movement and intonation movement. Vibe movement can be obvious. That's your filter drift, chorus smear, reverb tone shifting. Intonation movement is pitch. Pitch must stay subtle or you'll sound like a broken VHS. So first, in Wave Eatable, set LFO 1 to modulate the filter cutoff. Use a sine wave, super slow, rate around 0.05 to 0.12 Hz. That's slow enough that you don't notice an LFO. You just notice the sound isn't static. Set LFO mode to free, so each time you hit play it's not repeating the exact same movement. Then LFO 2, modulate pitch. You can go random or sample and hold, but make sure it's smoothed, or use a wobbly triangle. Rate around 0.3 to 1.2 Hz. And here's the big warning. The amount should be tiny, 3 to 9 cents max, not semitones. If the chord starts sounding out of tune, reduce pitch modulation before you change anything else. If you want extra texture and a touch of Wave Eatable's noise, very low, like minus 24 to minus 36 dB, we'll shape it later so it reads like air, not harsh hiss. Step 3. Cassette burr. After Wave Eatable, add chorus ensemble. Set it to chorus mode, amount maybe 10 to 25%, rate slow, 0.08 to 0.25 Hz. Set delay times close together, like 8 milliseconds and 12 milliseconds. Keep feedback low, 0 to 10. Mix around 15 to 35%. And do not forget the high pass and side chorus. Set it around 150 to 300 Hz. This is one of the biggest pad mistakes in DNB. Wide low frequencies. If you spread the lows, your track will feel weak in mono and your sub relationship gets weird. We want width in the upper body, not in the foundation. Next device, erosion. This is your grain, your dusty media texture. Set it to noise mode, not sine. Frequency around 4 to 10 kHz. Amount extremely small, like 0.3 to 1.5. Width around 0.6 to 1.0. You should mostly feel it when you bypass it. That's the sweet spot. Step 4, saturation and glue. Add saturator next. Try soft sine or analog clip. Drive 2 to 6 dB. Turn on soft clip most of the time, because it rounds things in a tapish way. Then adjust output so your level matches when bypassed. That's important. If it gets louder, you'll think it's better, and you'll overdo it. Then glue compressor. This is not for pumping yet, it's for printed cohesion. Attack about 3 milliseconds, release on auto ratio 2:1. Lower threshold until you're seeing 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on sustained chords. Optional. Turn on soft clip and glue as well if you want a slightly rounded, pressed into tape edge. Extra coach move here. Gain staging for convincing saturation. If your chord voicings change density and your level into the saturator jumps around, the saturation character will change too. If that's happening, put a limiter before the saturator and only shave 1 to 2 dB off the peaks. You're not making it loud, you're making it consistent. Step 5. Cassette bandwidth and mid focus. At EQ 8. First, a high pass. Go steeper, 24 dB per octave, and set it around 120 to 220 Hz. In many DNB tracks it can even be 150 to 250. Let the sub and re-zone the lows. Your pad doesn't need them. Then a gentle low pass, 12 dB per octave, around 8 to 12 kHz. This is the instant less digital move. A pad can still feel present without super bright top end, especially in a busy mix. Optional but very tape-like, a little mid-memory bump. Add a bell somewhere between 700 Hz and 1.6 kHz, boost 1 to 2.5 dB, and keep the Q moderate, around 0.7 to 1.2. That gives you that slightly forward, nostalgic mid-range that reads as cassette playback. Now step 6, the noise layer. This is where the illusion gets really convincing, if you do it tastefully. Create a new audio track called PAD, tape noise. We're going stock, so one fast approach is to use operator. Turn on its noise oscillator, then add auto filter after it. Bandpass around 6 to 10 kHz with moderate resonance. Keep the level low. This is bedroom air, not a waterfall. On the noise track, add saturator with 1 to 3 dB drive, just to give it a little density. Then EQ 8, high pass around 2 to 4 kHz, low pass around 10 to 12 kHz. Then utility. Keep width controlled. Often 0 to 50% works better than super wide hiss, because overly wide noise can feel fake. Now, crucial. Make the noise behave like it belongs in the mix, not like a constant overlay. Two great options. Option 1, classic DNB approach. Sidechain the noise so it breathes with the drums. Option 2, more realistic tape behavior. Use an envelope follower. Put envelope follower on the noise track, set its input to the pad track post-FX, and map it to the utility gain on the noise track. Try attack around 30 to 80 milliseconds, release 300 to 900 milliseconds, and keep the amount small. Now the hiss rises when the pad is present and disappears when the pad stops, like real world noise perception. Step 7. The pump. This is where the pad becomes DNB ready. On the pad track, add compressor and enable sidechain. Feed it from your drum bus, or even just the kick group. Ratio 2 to 4 to 1. Attack 5 to 20 milliseconds so the pad can speak slightly, then release around 80 to 180 milliseconds. Set it to the groove. Lower threshold until you're getting 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction on hits. Then do the same on the noise track, but push it a bit stronger, like 4 to 8 dB of reduction, so the hiss tucks under the drums. And a teacher trick here. Use sidechain as arrangement automation. Instead of constantly riding pad volume, automate the sidechain threshold. Lighter pump in intros and breaks. Firmer pump in the drop. It sounds like the pad knows its place instead of sounding like you turned it down. Step 8. Space without ruining drum clarity. Do reverb on a return track, not directly on the pad. Create return A and name it PAD verb. Add hybrid reverb. For this kind of pad, algorithmic is usually the smooth choice, though convolution can be cool if you want a roomier vibe. Set decay around 2.5 to 6 seconds. Pre-delay 20 to 45 milliseconds so the reverb doesn't step on the snare transient. High cut around 6 to 10 kHz, low cut around 200 to 500 Hz. Mix at 100% because it's a return. After hybrid reverb, at EQ 8, high pass again, 300 to 600 Hz. And if it starts shouting, dip 1 to 3 kHz a touch. Then send your pad to that return. Maybe send a tiny bit of the noise too, but be careful. Reverbed hiss can get foggy fast. Advanced extra, on the reverb return. Add auto filter after the reverb and modulate the low pass cutoff very slowly, like 0.03 to 0.08 Hz. Shallow amount. That gives you space movement without turning the reverb up. Step 9. Arrangement like a DNB producer. Pads are glue, not the main character. Think in sections. In the intro, filter it down, increase noise slightly, and use more reverb. In the build, Slowly open the pad cutoff but reduce reverb send so you're moving toward clarity. In the drop, tighten the cutoff a bit, reduce the reverb send, narrow width slightly and increase sidechain. In the break, let it bloom again. More wobble depth, more width, more noise. Second drop, change inversion or subtly shift the root to support the bass switch. And here's another mixed discipline move. Carve a hole for the snare. Find where your snare body lies, often around 180 to 240 hg for weight, and where the crack is, often 1.5 to 3 kHz depending on the sample. Use a Q8 on the pad to dip, where needed, and automate that dip to be deeper in the drop and lighter in breakdowns. Lush when drums are sparse, disciplined when breaks are busy. Step 10. Wrap it into a reusable rack. Select your pad chain, wave eatable into chorus into erosion into saturator into EQ into the sidechain compressor. Then group it into an instrument rack. Now map macros so this becomes a performance instrument. Map tone to your EQ low pass frequency. Map warmth to saturator drive and optionally wavetable filter drive. Map wobble to the LFO 2 pitch amount. Map drift to LFO 1 cutoff amount. Map width to chorus mix, and if you add a utility after the chain, map that width too. Map pump to the sidechain compressor threshold. Verb send you can automate manually, or map if you like. Then add 3v2 realism macros from the homework challenge. Age slightly increases noise level, lowers the low pass cutoff a touch, and adds a little saturation drive. Stability reduces pitch modulation and narrows stereo width slightly. Print increases glue compression a bit and rounds the tone, like you bounced it. Before we finish, quick mono safety routine. Check mono in three places, before chorus, after chorus, and on the reverb return. If the pad disappears or gets hollow in mono, your width is doing too much work. Make the core tone strong first, then add sides. Now, advanced variations if you want to go even deeper. Half-speed cassette feel. Add redux very subtly after the chain. Don't touch bit reduction. Just lower sample rate until the top dulls, then back off. EQ out any alias fizz around 6 to 10 kHz if it appears. That can make the pad feel lazier and heavier without turning it into a video game. Mono safe width split. Create an audio effect rack with two chains. Mid-core chain, utility width at 0%, more saturation. Air sides chain, EQ high pass at 1 to 2 kHz, whatever chorus, utility width 140 to 200%. Blend them. This is how you get wide pads that don't mess your center. This audio version is shortened for playback.